Our purpose this morning, above all, is to go to heaven. Not be lost. Not go to hell. We want to go to heaven. Everybody here. I love this church, and this is my purpose. I hope to be helpful. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 is a very familiar scripture. It's not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. The word forsake, the argument has been made that forsake here is just altogether forsake, completely forsake the assembling of yourself. That's not what it means. It's the very same word as Hebrews 13, 5, God will not forsake us. God doesn't forsake us once in a while. He doesn't ever forsake us. And that's what this, of course, is saying. I sincerely believe that this subject merits very careful study. I think we need to restudy it. I know you've heard many sermons on this and have studied in. But this morning, I'm asking everybody to re-examine our attitude and our thinking about the matter of assembling ourselves. We claim to be the true New Testament church. I think we are. I don't mean just a claim. I think we are. But while we condemn unscriptural ways that others worship God, how scriptural are we when we fail to attend the services? Is that scriptural? Romans 2:21, you teach another. Do you not teach yourself? I think it's obvious that some members simply do not think that attending all the services of the church is necessary. That's the impression that I receive. I hope that that can be corrected. It's just not all that important to them. Maybe more of a convenience thing. We see it especially Sunday night, Wednesday night, and a lot of times on Sunday morning. So, I imagine I'll need to preach this same sermon two or three times so that all the members can hear it. But they're not all here this morning. The exhortation of Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 is in a letter that has several warnings about the danger of apostasy. For example, Hebrews 2, 1 and 3, take heed. Take heed, be careful, watch out, lest we drift. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews 4 and 4, let us fear. Hebrews 6, 4 and 6, those who fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. And you know how true that is. Hebrews 10 now, the text that we're studying, let us consider, underline that word in your Bible, underline the word consider. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. There's not a period there. That's not the end of the sentence. How do we do this? Verse 25 tells us how to consider each other and stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Brethren, worshiping God is the principal purpose and function of the church. No question about it. Worshiping God, that's basic to the idea of church. Ephesians 3:21, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. It's interesting to notice that the word ecclesia is translated assembly. You look up the word church, for example, in Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, look up the word church, and it'll say, see assembly. You can't separate the word church from the word assembly. It's the same word. I'm not saying that the church isn't used in a sense broader than mere assembly, but basically that's what the word is. So the local church doesn't exist without assemblies. And to whatever extent the assemblies, I'm using the word plural because there are several in a week, to whatever extent the assemblies are neglected, the church is being neglected. The assembly is the channel of life. Brethren, if we don't really, really enjoy worshiping God now, why talk and sing about going to heaven? You know, we're studying Revelation on Wednesday night. And we're really observing how that throughout the book, we've got God on His throne. We have all of these wonderful, all this wonderful imagery of the heavenly host, 144,000. Voices like the sound of many waters. Voices like thunder, like harpists playing upon their harps. Beautiful, wonderful. Worshiping God. A principal activity in heaven. But if we don't enjoy doing it on earth, underline the word enjoy. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This congregation is exceptional. When Faye and I first came here, I could hardly sing. I was so caught up in the beauty, the inspirational nature of your singing. It's wonderful. All the voices, small building, low roof, singing. And this coming Wednesday night, we're going to devote the entire service to singing. And it is so inspirational, brethren. I love it. Sometimes some of the songs, I can hardly sing. I get choked up. Can't imagine members of the, you know, sometimes a member will say, oh, Wednesday night, they're just going to have singing. Come on. Just going to have singing? That boggles my mind. That's what heaven's all about. Singing praises to God. Brethren, what is a local church? Let's just get down to the bare basics. What is the local church? Well, it's a group of Christians. Uh-uh. No, you could have a group of Christians out in the ballpark or down at the mall. This is not just a group of Christians. All right, it is a specific body of Christians. 1 Corinthians 12:27, you are about the body of Christ, Paul told the church in Corinth. A specific flock, Acts 20:28, when Paul told the Ephesian elders, take heed and to feed and pastor the flock, which is among you, the flock. So, what is a local church? It is a group of Christians. And let's get down to Airport Church of Christ. It's a group of Christians who agree to join themselves together to form a specific group to worship together at specified times and carry out the other functions taught by the Holy Spirit, edification, evangelism, and benevolence. That is a local church. Basically, a local church is an agreement. Remember that is a key word when you understand the word local church. This means that every member of this congregation accepts the order of worship and Bible classes that has been established, and Paul says you've got to do things orderly. 1 Corinthians 14:40, 2 Thessalonians 3:6-14. We must be orderly. We can't just say, okay, here's a church, and we got a building, and let's just, you know, once in a while, let's show up. And no, sir. Where you have elders, they determine this order. They establish the schedule of services, when and at what time and so forth. And we don't have elders, but the men of the congregation have determined. Services Sunday morning, 10 to 12, 5:30 to 6:30, Wednesday night, 7 to 8. And that's very, very minimal. That's not a whole lot of time. But that is the order. That is what every member accepts. If you're a member, theoretically, you have accepted that. And I have accepted that. Every member is committed to be responsible as a functioning member of this congregation. Think of what a blessing it is to have the Airport Church of Christ. Are you glad it's here? I guarantee you I am. I'm very, very happy that the Airport Church of Christ exists. All that Brother Wise and others have done to have a property and have a place to meet and all of this, I am thankful. And every member should not only enjoy these blessings of having a congregation, but at the same time accept your responsibilities as a member of this congregation. You got both, blessings and responsibilities. Someone said, I didn't agree to attend all the services. You didn't. You didn't. You're a member of this church and you didn't agree to attend all the services? What's going on? What is that? Are we members or just visitors? The church should grow spiritually and numerically. The church should appoint elders and deacons. Do you wonder why we aren't converting more people? Do you wonder why we don't appoint elders? Look at the attendance. The attendance of this congregation indicates a general weakness of the church. We don't have the attendance we should have Sunday night, Wednesday night, even Sunday morning a lot of times. And that's a general weakness. Every member should purpose in his heart. Now, 2 Corinthians 9 and 7 talking about the contribution. Purpose in your heart to give as you prosper. But by the same token, we ought to purpose to attend all the services. If we should purpose to give, we should certainly purpose to attend in order to give. Plus, take of the Lord's Supper, sing, pray, and have the Bible classes and all of that. Because if we don't purpose to do it, we won't do it. Compare going to work every day. You get up and go to work, why? Well, it's a given. It's settled. I'm going to do it. A lot of times, that's not the case when it comes to attending the services of the church. And not only that, but do it cheerfully, not grudgingly. If someone attends here grudgingly, God would say, just stay home, go elsewhere. You don't want grudging. You don't want someone to do you a favor grudgingly, and certainly God doesn't. What does it indicate, brethren, when we don't make arrangements to attend faithfully? What does it really indicate? Christ said in Matthew 22:37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do it. If we don't attend the services faithfully, don't we want to be with Christ? Do we believe with all of our hearts that right now Jesus Christ is with us here today? Do we believe that? I do. I really do. I can't see him, but I believe he's here. Do we want to be with Christ? We sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Really? He'll be here tonight. You know what? 5:30, Jesus will be here. Where will you be? Huh? Where will you be? 5:30 this evening. Wednesday, 7 o'clock, Jesus Christ will be here. Where will you be? Oh, how I love Jesus. I wonder, for two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst, Christ. That's a promise. That's a guarantee. And I'm confident that He's with us. Don't we want to be with the ones that we love? 1 John 4:20, John says, how can you say you love God, whom nobody has seen, when you don't love your brethren that you see every day? John says that's not a very good indication of loving God. If we loved our spouses, our husbands and wives, the way we love God in the church, how many of our marriages would last? You really enjoy being with your brethren? Enjoy being with the church? Listen, I look forward to coming to this place. I'm not. This isn't put on. I enjoy seeing, greeting, and being with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I do. I'd rather be here than anywhere on earth. I love this church. Well, I know that when I get through this sermon, you may pick up a collection and send me back to Odessa, Texas. But that the Lord knows my heart, and I want us to go to heaven. That's my purpose. And I know that this church needs this sermon. It indicates that we're not really interested in our edification, our own or that of our brethren. Just check, brethren, just get your concordance and check all the scriptures that talk about the edification of the body, the church. Preachers and teachers come to this place well prepared. I'm never in the classes back here with the children, but I'm more than confident that our teachers come every class, Sunday and Wednesday, well prepared to teach. And I know Seth does. His class this morning, and every time he gets up to teach, it's just so many beautiful lessons. And I spend hours and hours on Revelation for Wednesday night. And then there are members that say, well, you know, if you go, okay, if you don't, okay, it's all the same. Is it? Is that, you know, Ephesians 4:16 says the body grows, it develops and grows when each member supplies its part. Each member supplies its part. That's when it grows. And when each member doesn't supply its part, it's like, here's a body, but the ankle's broken, the knee's broken, this is out of joint, that isn't. What kind of strength is in that body? And here's the, going back to the very first text, we are inconsiderate of our brethren. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider each other. How? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. That's how you show consideration for your brethren. Which means that if I'm not present, I'm being inconsiderate of my brethren. The flip side of that works. Our absence discourages our brethren. Your absence discourages me. I look around and I say, so-and-so not here, so-and-so not here, so-and-so not here. I miss them. I really do. I miss you. Someone has said, the empty tomb proves the triumph of the gospel, and the empty bench proves its failure. Yeah, it's discouraging. No getting around it. Like Jonathan told David, 1 Samuel 20:18, you'll be missed because your seat will be empty. It indicates that we're like Laodicea, lukewarm, not fervent in spirit. It indicates that we're ungrateful to God for all His blessings, ungrateful to Christ who suffered so much for us. It indicates that we're like the Israelites who offered to God the blind, the lame, the sick. In other words, when we think of going to church when it's really convenient, when I don't have to do this and I don't have to do that and if this and accept that and I'll go and all that, just we're giving God leftovers. That's all in the world it is. We're giving God the blind, the lame, and the sick. And we set a bad example for our own children. We're supposed to be Ephesians 6:4, bringing them up in the admonition of the Lord and then don't even attend the services. Bad example for new members. Bad example for weak members. Bad example for visitors. Stumbling block to others. Jesus said in Matthew 18:6, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it'd be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's someone who causes stumbling block. Finally, it indicates that we don't really believe Jesus when he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Brethren, what exactly does Matthew 6:33 mean? Seek first the kingdom. Okay, seek first the kingdom. If that doesn't mean put the Lord and the church first, what does it mean? What does it mean? If it doesn't mean put the church first, what does it mean? We need to study this verse. It needs more attention. It needs a lot more emphasis. If it doesn't mean that everything else should be kept in second place, what does it mean? We consent to it in word. We quote it all the time. But do we consent to it in practice? Brethren, will God accept if service, you think? We will attend services if we don't have to work, if we're not too tired, if we don't feel bad. You know, incidentally, this feeling bad, does that mean you feel too bad to go to work, feel too bad to go to the mall, feel too bad to go to the grocery store, feel too bad to go visit family or friends, or just feel too bad to go to church? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. And of course, a big one in the airport church is if we don't travel. I never heard that before. You know, it's the first church. Now, all my put together, I've never heard the expression so-and-so traveling. I guess it's all right, but what is traveling? What does it say about your sense of responsibility to your membership in this church? What does it really mean? Your responsibility to God, to the other members, to new members, weak members, visitors. What about your part in the service as teachers and song leaders? You know, that brother who's going to preside, he really needs to get here early. Why? Because you're going to have to find a bunch of substitutes. No matter what the board says back there, you've got to find a bunch of substitutes. What about the continuity of the Bible classes for yourself and your children? Teachers have a series of lessons that they present, and it's all connected. What about the continuity? In a word, brethren, what about your commitment to this church? Oh, well, I attend somewhere. You a member there? Even more important, and perhaps one of the most important considerations, what about the people you're inviting and teaching? Here we are. We're the church. Sound, conservative church in Columbia, South Carolina. And we're all working. We're inviting people. We're teaching and inviting people. And if they accept your invitation and they come, then you're not here to receive them. And, well, where's Brother So-and-so? Traveling. You think they'll come back? Do I hear someone say, well, that's no problem because I don't invite anybody. I'm not teaching anybody. Well, in that case, attendance is not the only problem. Each week, brethren, each week, God gives us 168 hours, if my little calculator is right. We can't worship Him for 2 hours on Sunday, 15 minutes, that's the invitation that a brother gives on Wednesday night. We have song, prayer, and a little preaching. And have Bible study for an hour and a half, 45 minutes Sunday morning, 45 minutes Wednesday night. We can't give God, we're talking about less than 3% of that 168 hours. Get your little calculator and check me on this. But mine says it's 0.0238%. That's if you attend all three services. And some members don't even give Him that much worship service. Not even 3%. And we say, oh, but we're seeking first the kingdom of God. Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Well, a contribution is not the only thing. How about time? Which is more important this morning, your time or the contribution you've made? Luke 14, 18, 19. The feast is ready. All things are prepared. Come to the feast. Well, I can't attend. I bought a piece of land. I got to go see it. Oh, well, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I got to go try them out. And then the best one of all, the very best excuse is, I've married a wife and can't come. You said, that's laughable. You said, that's ludicrous. And that's just exactly how God feels about our flimsy excuses. Just exactly. They're ridiculous. Oh, they sound good to us. Our excuses sound good to us. But how do they sound to the Lord? You know, we're a lot like, or just like, the slaves of the first century. Today, employers are virtual slave owners. Just look around. Just consider this. They might as well put their brand on their employees because they own them, body and soul. Well, we say, yes, but hey, there are certain things we just have to do on Sunday and Wednesday. Yeah, that's right. But who decides that? Who decides it? 1 Corinthians 6:19, you are not your own. You are bought. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. And we just got through thinking of the price that was paid. And Christ owns us, body and soul. Here he's talking about your body. Romans 6:18, we're slaves. And brethren, slaves do not have a will of their own. The slave does the will of the master. So this was decided when you obeyed the gospel, that you would worship God according to the arrangement of the church where you're a member. This was decided when you became a member of this congregation. But brother, don't you know that in this modern world, everything operates 24/7? All right, hang a sign on your chest. Hang a sign on your chest and say, not available. I belong to Christ. I belong to God. And I'm not available. Sunday morning 10 to 12, 5:30 to 6:30, Wednesday 7 to 8. I have a prior commitment with God. He comes first 24/7. My God comes first 24/7. Because I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Only way in the world to go to heaven is to put God first. Love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's no other way. Oh, but that wouldn't please my boss. That wouldn't please my employer. That wouldn't please my family. Read the rest of Hebrews 10. We've been reading Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Read the rest of it. Just keep reading. The very next verse, 4. 4 connects 26 with 25. Don't forsake the assembly. For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation. Verse 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Our God is a God of love, but he's a God of wrath. I don't want to displease my boss. And yet there's someone, our God in heaven, is a million times more powerful than your employer or your family or anybody else. And Christ said, don't fear men even though they can kill you, but rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Well, but preacher, what about the personnel of hospitals and doctors and nurses and the police and the firemen and all the industrial plants and the malls? Well, what about them? Can they be saved? Can doctors be saved? Can nurses be saved? Can policemen be saved? What are we saying, brethren? What are we saying? Are we saying, now there are some Christians, There's some Christians that should worship, but there's other Christians that, you know, they're exempt from worship because our modern world operates 24/7. Is that the way we really think? Is that the way we really believe? They can be saved. Anybody can be saved. But did Christ make exceptions? Did Christ say, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven unless you're on call 24/7? You know where that scripture is? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven unless you're on call 24/7. That's in the book of Jude, chapter 2. Look it up sometime. Is this modern world seeking first the kingdom of God? There we go. Sometimes it shows, sometimes it doesn't. Okay, well, my time's up anyway. Brethren, I want to say it again. I'm saying these things because I am deeply concerned about attendance. I am deeply concerned about Christians worshiping God. And if we do it, if we worship God Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, have these classes, if we're faithfully doing this, we're worshiping God with less than 3% of the time God gives us. Isn't that kind of shocking? You know, we talk about going to heaven. We all want to go to heaven. And we're going to get to heaven, and there's that mighty chorus. There they are, 144,000. And the sound is like mighty many waters and roaring thunder, and the harpists playing their harps. Oh, it's just fabulous. And then here's some members of the church standing around, you know, out to one edge, and they're saying, is that all there is to do up here? Well, I wonder where the mall is. I wonder if they have cable. I like to go fishing. Well, they'd sure be unhappy. Real unhappy. But you know what? One more point and I'll close. There's a place. There's a place where you won't be hearing that mighty chorus. There's a place where you won't be hearing any preaching. You won't be hearing the singing of hymns. There's a place where you won't ever hear an invitation song. But is that where you want to go? Where all you hear is screaming and yelling and begging and pleading and just a drop of water to cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame forever and ever and ever. And we're going to sing that invitation song this morning. Shall we stand?